Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McKellen. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Now on to the show. Today's guest is Brian Meck. You may remember him from my previous shows talking about Second Sight's Argus 2. The Argus 2 is a retinal prosthesis. LinkedIn says that Brian is now the president of eSight. eSight is making a special set of electronic glasses. Brian joins us to talk about these special glasses and how they help the blind see most of the things that sighted people see. Good to have you again on the show, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be back.
Before we talk about the new eSight glasses, let's talk a little bit about you. LinkedIn says that you just left your position as Vice President of Business Development for Second Sight Medical Products, and now you're the President of eSight Corporation. What sparked you to make this transition?
Thanks, Brian. So I left Second Sight in April to join eSight, and it certainly wasn't because I was unhappy. Second Sight was a great company, great place to work, and they are certainly doing very well, and I was doing very well there myself. But the reason I came over was, you know, I've dedicated my career to low vision and eradicating blindness, and eSight gives me the opportunity to join their team and help even more people with blindness and low vision than I could help at Second Sight. And that's primarily why I'm here now.
Give us a little bit of history on eSight.
Sure. Well, the company was founded in 2007 by Conrad Lewis, a Canadian engineer who had had success in the telecom industry and wanted to help his two sisters, both of whom had Stargardt's disease. So what he did is he put together a great engineering team and got them some money so that they could start working on it. And after several design iterations and about a total of $16 million invested, they had something that actually worked. And towards the end of 2013, the company conducted a soft launch of the product, initially in the Canadian market, but now also in the US, to make sure that it functioned as they expected in the real world. And in January of this year, 2015, the story went viral due to a couple of videos that got tremendous attention on the World Wide Web. One was of a mother seeing her baby for the very first time, and the other was of the president of the Blind Veterans Association of America, a gentleman by the name of Mark Cornell, who was brought to tears when he tried eSight and was able to see again after 18 years. And those two videos really sort of put the company and the product on the map.
I saw that video of the woman being able to actually see her newborn for the first time. That was very special.
Yes, it was. I've seen it probably 100 times now, honestly, and I still am moved to tears or near tears every time.
You're talking about the eSight glasses here. How do they help the legally blind actually see?
So what it is it's an externally worn system that consists of a head-mounted display. And on this display, it looks like a large pair of sunglasses. On the display, there's a video camera which captures the video in real time and sends it to a small processor that the user can either wear on their belt or put in a handbag or something like that. And the processor does some advanced image processing to be sure, but also gives the user control over things like contrast and zoom and brightness and a few other things. Then the processed video is sent back up to the glasses and the head-mounted display, where it is displayed on two high-definition organic LED displays. And the image intensity and contrast and color and vibrancy that's offered by these state-of-the-art displays is such that it, in many cases, overcomes the deficiency in the retina that is causing previously dormant photoreceptors, that's rods and cones, to fire and thereby restore vision. So these are rods and cones that don't respond under normal lighting conditions, and therefore people can't use them to see, but they respond to what we're presenting, and therefore we're restoring vision.
The glasses use this new patented breakthrough technology. How does that technology help people see?
Okay, so great question. I already told you about these organic LED displays. That's certainly a large part of it. There's some advanced optics that are involved too in the presentation of the image. and I talked about the image processing, but the other really important feature of eSight is that it is bioptic. And that means that it allows the user of the system to use more or less of their residual peripheral vision as they wish, simply by kind of adjusting where the display is in their field of view. So as you know, many people that suffer from low vision have relatively healthy and normal peripheral vision, and they use it, and it's very important to them. They use it especially for activities related to mobility. And so eSight doesn't prevent the use of that peripheral vision. Another great thing about the fact that it's bioptic is that because people can use their peripheral vision, and also because we present the video on the screens in real time with no perceptible lag, the users don't suffer from any vertigo or nausea, which is something that they would have experienced if they tried, for example, virtual reality glasses that are available today, or even previous efforts that were similar to eSight but were tried back when the technology wasn't mature enough. And I'm referring to efforts that your audience might be aware of, like the Elvis or the Jordy. And a lot of people that used Elvis and Jordy complained of both vertigo and nausea. We don't get any of those complaints with eSight.
Give us some examples of what eSight users can actually see. Just some examples.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you some examples from my experience, but of course you'll have Yvonne speaking a little bit. She can give you her personal experience. Some of the things that the users talk about is the ability to read newsprint, being able to see and recognize faces of loved ones, family members, also resuming activities of daily living that are normally reserved for people that are well-sighted. Some examples include eSight users have resumed playing golf, playing cards, playing poker, reading sheet music, and auditioning for an orchestra. They've been mainstreamed at school. So it can be really life-changing technology. We have people that have gone back to work, people that completed college that otherwise would not have completed college. It's really amazing. Another interesting observation that we have seen is that many people with low vision have central blind spots normally, but when they put on the eSight glasses, the blind spots either reduce in size or in some cases go away entirely. And that dramatically impacts not only what they can see, but the quality of life that they achieve with that vision.
That's amazing. So they can do many of the things that sighted people can do and actually see the things that sighted people can see.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not playing sports where the ball is making a sound or something like that. They're playing golf by looking at the ball and striking it with the club head. It's amazing to watch what some of these folks can do.
We're going to get to the user experience a little more in just a bit, but can legally blind people wear the eSight glasses and be completely mobile?
Yes, they can. So that's the beautiful part of being able to use your peripheral vision. In some cases, it'll take a little bit of practice. Other people can do it sort of right off the bat. But, you know, having that peripheral vision really helps. We've seen many instances where people have gotten eSight and stopped using their cane or even their service animal. So pretty remarkable improvements in orientation and mobility.
Does the eSight eyewear work for all blind people?
Unfortunately, no. But the good news is that it sure does work for a lot of them, a lot of blind people. From a visual acuity perspective, we tend to have the most benefit for people that are in the range of 20 over 60 to 20 over 400. Those people tend to respond very well to eSight. But we've had success in patients with acuity that is worse than 20 over 1,000. And in terms of the medical conditions, we've had lots of success with different conditions. Some of the big ones are macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, Stargardt's disease, ocular albinism, cone rod dystrophy, retinopathy of prematurity, and many others. Our success rate has been lower in retinitis pigmentosa and glaucoma, but even there, when we do get users that respond, the response is significant and they get tremendous benefit.
You also brought a user to talk with us today. Tell us about the user of the eSight glasses that's here with us.
Well, Yvonne is actually one of the original users of eSight. I think she's had her eyewear for almost 3 years. Yvonne has gotten tremendous benefit from having eSight eyewear. I'll let her tell you about that. I think she's going to tell you that it's made a big difference in her life. So I'll let Yvonne speak for herself, though.
Hi, Yvonne. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Hi, Brian.
How have the eSight glasses helped you see the world?
The first thing that I got to see when I tried eSight was my children and my husband. So I had been married for 10 years and had never seen what my husband looked like. I had brought home my 2-month-old son. So connecting with people really changed my world. And understanding nonverbal communication, that was a huge, huge thing for me over the past 3 years that's really changed my life. I would say that being able to work outside of my home, I know that most people with low vision or people who are blind work either in the home or they work stationary. I think having a mobile device has really allowed me to move outside of my comfort zone and experience things with sight as opposed to, you know, adaptation. For me, that has really been important because I've actively been looking since I was diagnosed when I was 7, something to be a part of that, you know, whether that was through universal language or through adaptive technologies, something to give me sight so I could visually be a part of the world and be integrated, you know, fully in an inclusive manner.
What else have you seen and been able to do aside from seeing and being with your family and friends?
Well, I was, prior to having eSight, I had a home-based business, basically doing arts education, and I am a visual artist, ironically enough. But most of that was in my home, and I sort of kept people outside of my process. And what that allowed me to do was actually work with the Ontario Arts Council here in Canada, and I was able to be a part of their equity plan, their strategy for including people with exceptional needs or low vision as part of the visual artist process and giving artists accessibility. And that was something that I wouldn't have been able to do prior. So being able to work outside of my home and read documents in a manner that I would go to an office and sit down with other people and just sit at a desk and read, that made a huge difference in my life because that gave me more opportunities to employment. So that was something that really changed my life. And also traveling on my own. I know that many people with low vision or who are blind, we can go to an airport and get assistance. But for me to be able to find my way about around myself is pretty incredible. Like 2 weeks ago, I flew from Canada to LA and then from LA to Chicago, and I didn't require someone to fill out all my paperwork and to get my boarding pass for me. It was just something that I did on my own. So I went from sort of using localized public transit to now I guess I would say I'm able to access globally the world through public transit.
What about when you wear the glasses and other people seeing you wear them in public or at home? Do they ask you any questions? And if they do, how do you answer them?
Obviously, head-mounted devices are not something that are seen daily in public. Wearables are something that are becoming more of a norm. Usually when someone does see me in public and I'm wearing the eyewear, I find that it is a very open and a very comfortable way of identifying myself. It allows me to actually answer open-ended questions. People sort of look at me and they don't see a stigma. They don't necessarily associate me with a specific tool and say, oh, you have low vision. People actually just ask me what I'm wearing, which is a very comfortable way to start that kind of conversation, to discuss what's wrong with my eyes, basically. It allows me to educate instead of, you know, being more of an object and being looked at as someone with something specific. So I'm very open to answering any questions. Kids are far more interested than parents about being open. Obviously, this is sometimes compared to as a gaming device, or I'm asked if I'm a beta tester for something like that. In reality, like my family and friends accept it, obviously, because they know that I have low vision, but that I'm also I've always been looking for something to help me restore my sight. Like at home, my kids and I will play video games, and my son would love to wear it as much as I would. So there's a little bit of a battle going on when the Wii is on. So in my home, it's, you know, my three-year-old doesn't really think, there's no questions. I don't really think he even acknowledges it because it's something he's growing up with. My older son does remember, and one of the things I always think about is that he'll remember when I couldn't read to him. I couldn't read a story. I when he asked me what something was, I couldn't necessarily always answer that question for him. But my younger son has no idea. Like, he just doesn't have any idea that I wasn't capable of doing simple tasks like that within the home.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think the one thing I would like to say is that for eSight, being on the head of a child is probably extremely important from the perspective that I was a child growing up without any kind of technology this advanced. And in terms of communication, you know, now being 34 years old and beginning just to understand what nonverbal communication actually is, really interesting in terms of human engagement and human interaction, how we relate with one another. I know in school too, like Brian had referred to, being able to complete college, having technology integrated into your life at a very young age, I think is very instrumental in how we succeed. Being able to have access to information is important, but being able to have access to humanity is also very important.
I agree with you. Well, Yvonne, thank you so much for coming on today to share your experience with us. But stay tuned, because we're going to acknowledge you at the end of the show, okay?
Thank you, Brian.
So, Brian, now back to a little bit more reviews, but this time from the ophthalmologist and optometrist point of view, what do they think of the new glasses?
I think the ones that are aware of the glasses and have, especially the ones that have seen them in action, are just thrilled, because it gives them something to hang their hat on and to tell their patients, in many cases for the very first time, that there's something that they can do to help them see again. I think if you polled every ophthalmologist and every optometrist in the country, many of them would say they've never heard of the device. It's one of the things that we're working very hard on right now, is making sure that people like that, ophthalmologists and optometrists, the healthcare providers, are aware of the technology.
How do you find eSight even more amazing than the Argus 2?
Well, you know, for me, the main reason is because eSight can help a lot of people. Argus 2, which is intended to help people with end-stage retinitis pigmentosa, and it does so. It helps those people in a very important way. But there's only about 5,000 people in the United States that would be eligible for the Argus 2 prosthesis. By way of contrast, eSight can help roughly 40%, based on what we've seen, of all people with low vision, which is about 3.1 million people in the United States. And therefore, it's just a matter of how many people can we help. For me personally, that's really important. Apart from that, there's other key differences. With eSight, there's no surgery. There's no implant that's going inside the body, no risk of surgery. People can try it and see if it works before they have to decide about buying it. There's no surgical risk. There's no functional outcome risk. They know whether or not it's going to work for them. And it just takes an hour to do what we call a demonstration, and they'll have their answer. All of those things are why I am so excited about eSight.
What other clinical data supporting the eyewear has been published, the eSight eyewear?
Sure. So we have some early data that shows tremendous improvement in visual acuity and contrast sensitivity when people use the eyewear. But we're actually in the process of getting ready to start a study towards the end of this year at several sites across the US and Canada. And we expect that the study will not just confirm that these clinical measures of vision show improvement, but also that activities of daily living, things like going to a cafe and buying a coffee and reading a paper while you wait, or preparing a meal from scratch from a recipe, are also greatly improved with a tool like eSight. And therefore, quality of life is also improved with eSight. We also hope to show that it helps kids and young adults in school and adults in the workplace.
Are the eSight glasses approved by the FDA?
Yes, eSight is licensed in both the U.S. and Canada by the FDA in the United States and by Health Canada in Canada.
What are some of the features that are going to be added to future eSight models?
Oh, Brian, we have some great things planned. I can't give away everything, of course, but suffice to say, you know, the device is going to get smaller, faster, better looking, for sure. Also, in the future, we'll have wireless connectivity by Wi-Fi and Bluetooth to devices, content, services. That's on the drawing board. We could get to a point where people with low vision not only see just as well as normally sighted people, but are in many cases even better off because they're also connected to the World Wide Web of things and therefore actually in a better position than the normally sighted. So that's sort of the aspirational goal of the company, and I hope to get there as fast as we can.
Yes, cool stuff. How can our listeners learn more about eSight Eyewear and try it out?
The easiest way would be to go to our website called eSightEyewear.com and check it out. There's a button on the first page, the front page of that website. If you're interested in arranging what we call a demonstration, you click on that button, you fill out a form, someone from our office will be back in touch with you shortly by phone, and that's the best way to get started.
How much does eSight cost?
Very good question. So the eyewear costs $15,000, and the price includes the externally worn system that I described, the head-mounted display and the processor. It includes the batteries, a carrying case, but it also includes our eSkills program, which helps with training, our ambassador support hotline, where an eSkills user can call an eSight ambassador, which is a person who actually uses eSight, to ask them questions. And the price also includes free software upgrades. We recognize, however, that $15,000, while on the one hand is a small price to pay for sight, on the other hand might not be affordable for everyone that could otherwise benefit from eSight. To give you an example, today, roughly two-thirds of our users have paid for the device out of pocket, while the other third have gone through and raised the money basically through fundraising. And we have a program to help with fundraising. Looking forward, however, we are working on a plan that would see someone else pay for all or part of the system, whether they're an employer, a school board, a disability insurance program, a rehab program, or even healthcare insurance.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we've covered it, Brian. It's a really exciting project for me personally. You know, I got to work with what I consider the first ever technology to restore vision to the blind people. And now I get to work with the best and the one with the broadest application. And I'm really excited, and I hope your audience is as well.
Brian and Yvonne, this information is going to encourage our listeners to purchase some of the new eSight glasses and see the world. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Before we go, I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode and past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind or Speak Out for the Blind. You may also visit my website at home.comcast.net/TildaMcCallan3. That's MCCALLEN. The number 3. And the show archive is at acbradio.org/speaking-out-for-the-blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening. And remember to speak out.
Join me, Brian McCallum, on Speaking Out for the Blind. I interview famous and inspirational blind individuals and other specialists about a wide variety of topics, providing you with the steps to achieve your dreams. Speaking Out for the Blind airs Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, and repeats every 2 hours overnight and throughout the next day, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream.